Hello.
Hey, Abby, it's Chandler.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for making the time today. I really appreciate it with everything going on. I know you're probably pretty busy at home.
No problem. I'm happy to be assistance.
So for the listeners out there, it's beginning of April of 2020. We're still in the middle of this whole COVID-19 thing. So we're recording over the phone today with Abby. She's the founder of CFFW, which is Confessions of a Firefighter Wife. And Abby, why don't you go ahead and explain what that is to the listeners?
Sure. So I started about 3 years ago just blogging about my life and my experiences as a firewife. My husband and I had started off with, just the normal fire life, but then things started changing when we had kids, and he actually started working 7 hours away, and it was really hard, and I couldn't find anything to relate to. So I kind of just wanted to do something because I knew I couldn't be the only one out there who felt that way, who was going through a lot of hard things, and the thing that just the fire life brings. And through that, I've met people along the way, I've learned a lot of things, and I just really opened my eyes to the bigger need of just needing to bridge the gap between our firefighters and their significant others at home, just the relationships between them and how to communicate better and make those relationships healthier.
So what types of things do you do through CFFW? I know you guys are on social media, right?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit now, so I guess I forgot to mention that. That was kind of my next step of wanting to help. And so our plan is with it is we just want to bring seminars and workshops and tools that firewives and the firefighters can use and the significant others can use at home and with their firefighters as far as mental health and just the home life, the everyday life, understanding each other, how to communicate better, all the important things that go into just any relationship, really. But for us, it's a little harder to get there. So I wanted to provide a way to bring on people who really do know the lifestyle and how to help bridge that gap between them.
Well, I want to get into your story a little bit here. So first off, how'd you meet your husband?
So we met in elementary school, actually. And yes, I had a crush on him then, but we didn't start dating until my senior year of high school. And he actually wasn't a firefighter at first. He was working tile, and he, about a year into our relationship, wanted to pursue firefighting. He had done cadets, and he had done some volunteer before, but it wasn't until that year that he really just wanted to pursue firefighting. And honestly, I wasn't okay with it at first, but we decided to kind of just see how it went. And that first year was actually, I kind of joke in my blog, it was a baptism by fire season for us, because it was he actually started off with hot shots. So that's kind of how we met. We just have known each other our whole lives. And so, yeah.
You mentioned that you were a little hesitant at first to let him be a firefighter. What were your hesitations?
So my sister was a military wife at the time, and I saw her struggles, and I knew firefighting, they were gone a lot. From my understanding, my brother, he had been interested in it before. He's not a firefighter. He didn't pursue that. But so I kind of understood a little bit of what it entailed. But I just, as far as the lifestyle, I wanted my husband home. I wanted that family life. And so I knew that firefighting wasn't really like that. So I kind of was I don't know if that's the right fit for me. So we actually had a really hard talk about it. And I expressed those concerns, and, we decided, let's not make any rash decisions, because, we were at the point in our dating life of considering marriage and, pursuing that. So we wanted to really, make our steps count at that point. So with the firefighting thing, I just for me at first, I was like, I don't know if that's the lifestyle I want, just because of wanting him home more.
Sure, sure. So, you know, once he decided he was going to be a firefighter and that's what you guys were going to do, how did you think the journey was going to go at first?
Well, like I said, the first season was hard, so it was real eye-opening. My husband started off on a hotshot crew, and that whole summer he was gone. Like, I think I saw him like a few days, like a month. And so for me, it was just like, I don't know if, like, this is really going to get any easier. So it kind of just threw me right into it and just really what to expect as far as him gone a lot. And trying to keep busy for me, I was in college at the time, and also I had two jobs. And then I still felt like I couldn't keep busy enough. Like, there was just all this space in between of, you know, where is he at? There was times I didn't get to talk to him for like 2 weeks at a time. I didn't know where he was at, which fire he was on, if he was okay. So there was a lot of like testing as far as like what I was able to handle that first year. And that was actually brought us to the discussion of like, you know, is this the career path, or is this the right agency for us as a couple and moving forward? And that was when we decided together that maybe Cal Fire was a better option for our life and what we were wanting to move forward towards, like, in the future. So that next season he started with Cal Fire.
So now that you've been through a few seasons and you guys have a family now, what types of things are you doing to help yourself get through fire season when he's gone?
So through the years, so we've been married for 10 years now. We've been together for 13. And through the years, every season is different. So preparing for it just like ahead of time has helped, like knowing, okay, you know, fire season's coming. What are things that I can, before kids, what it was like, okay, you know, I need to anticipate that I may not see him for long periods of time. What does that look like? Are there things at home that I need done before this comes? And if there's anything that I need to address, like, how do I address that as far as, like, you know, working on things at home or vehicles or whatever the case may be in the house, like, how do I do those without him? And so for me, it was just a matter of, like, okay, teach me, and also what can we get done before this time happens? And that kind of helped ease it a little bit. And then when we had kids, it was a whole nother ball game.
How did kids change things?
So before kids, it was, I worried about myself and what I was doing while he was gone. I was able to keep myself busy. I could go out at night, go meet up with friends. When I had kids, it was, you know, those children, and they're reliant on the parent to help them through. And it was very hard. My kids are still young, so we're still navigating the emotions of it. But they, you know, they have their own emotions with everything, and trying to help them understand, you know, why is daddy gone so long? Why can't daddy be home tonight? Why does so-and-so dad get to be home and my dad doesn't? Like, there's all these different aspects of their emotions as well. And also, you know, if I'm having a hard time, those are harder to address. So, just being able to communicate with my kids, like, and teach them, like, you know, this is the lifestyle. And I know it's somewhat more normal for them because that's all they've ever known. But for me, like, you know, I'm having to, you know, push past my own feelings and help them get through theirs and teach them, you know, these are okay emotions to have and this is normal, and explain to them, like, why he's gone and not there and all those things.
Are there certain methods you use or certain things that you've done that you would suggest to other mothers trying to deal with children during fire season or while dad's gone?
I would say just in the younger years, like, they really don't understand when they're, like, you know, 2-3 years old. They I've had experiences with my daughter where she would just cry and need to cry, like, and I didn't really know for sure if that was why, but I assumed because it was usually, you know, around the time where, like, he would be involved normally when he was home. And so I guess just being open to, like, sitting with them and, like, letting them have their emotions and working with their emotions through it, and then having tools on hand. Like, I know there's some books out, like, that just help with, you know, explaining, like, what their dad does and why it's important and why, you just keeping that communication open with them. And I'm a very tell it like it is mom. Like, I just, like, hey, you know, this is why your dad is gone and this is why we need to get through this. And usually that kind of opens it up more between us. And so I would just say just being open with them, and I mean, age appropriately, but, like, you know, just keeping communication open with your kids is, I've found super helpful.
So, you know, I'm sure your husband's seen some pretty traumatic things while being a firefighter. How's that affect your guys' lives, and how do you guys deal with those things?
We've talked about just everything that, you know, possibilities and stuff that could happen with the job, and we kind of just have an open mind. I've always said, like, I go into everything as far as, like, with firefighting and with just life in general, like, I'm not going to worry about anything that's not for sure. Like, there's nothing that says there's for sure chance that he's going to be injured or hurt or possibly pass away. And there's nothing that says that, you know, for sure, as far as, like, day-to-day things, like, he could be doing normal stuff. And so in the younger years, I guess we had a harder time talking about those things because I didn't want to talk about them because it was emotional. But now we know there's those, like, okay, the what-ifs, plan for those, but, like, they're not expected, and I'm not going to spend my time dwelling on those. And so I guess that's kind of how we look at it, just be prepared but not living in that mindset of it could happen.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's a dangerous rabbit hole to go down if you're just constantly thinking about that. It could really consume you. So what would be your advice to wives of firefighters out there who may be just struggling with, you know, having a husband who's a firefighter?
You know, I actually did a post the other day, and I really believe that, you know, as far as, like, the firefighters, when they're dating you or they are married to you, they chose you. Like, I honestly believe that there is something that, like, they saw in you that could make it through this, and to just hold on to that strength that they really did choose you, and that they are, you know, with firefighting and just that kind of, like, career, like, they are have that built into them of, like, wanting to make the best of every situation, make something successful, and that goes along with the relationships. Although sometimes it may not feel like it, that you come second, but, like, in hindsight, it's really everything, like, my husband has explained to me, like, everything he does is for our family, and truly choosing to believe that, and just working together and keeping communication open, compromising on things, and I know for us, like, communication's always been really huge, and just really being able to openly talk about things and trust that each other is going to be really open with each other. And those are things that really have gotten us through the years.
And Abby, you have a really interesting perspective because, you know, before you guys got married, you guys were dating and he was on the hotshot crew. So what would you say to girlfriends of firefighters out there who might be struggling with what their boyfriends are doing? Does that change things?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's that thought process of when you're dating, it's like no one really understands, like, and no one takes it as seriously. And for me, like, my relationship with my husband was always very serious. I wasn't one to date just to date. I, when I date him, I already kind of knew early on that he was meant to be who I was supposed to marry. And so for me, it was, you know, really considering, like, is this a lifestyle you want? And is the person in front of you the type of person you want to be with forever? If you answer yes to those, then, like, you know, I think it's completely appropriate to pursue and, like, do whatever you feel is best for your relationship to make it healthier and keep those communication open from early on. Like, like I said, you know, communication is just huge, and being able to talk about things, understand early on, like, what he's doing and what he's going through. It was a big learning curve for a while, but once I kind of understood how it worked, then it was a little bit easier. So, yeah, just communication and just knowing that it doesn't necessarily get easier, it just gets different, and being able to put in the work to alongside of them.
And one more question I want to ask you here before we wrap it up. What is your best advice for husbands who are firefighters, who are trying to deal with their wives' emotions and the things that their wives go through?
I would say, for thinking just like it, as far as my relationship, like things that have helped me, and when my husband communicates where he's at, and when he, like, say he's had a hard shift and he comes home, instead of just acting like he had a hard shift, like communicating with me first, saying like, hey, you know, I'm tired, I've had a hard shift, can we talk about things later? Or, you know, just keeping that communication open of, like, you know, where they're at and whether or not they had a hard shift, like understanding when they're coming home that we may have had that too, and kind of, you know, not have such high expectations coming home into it because you don't know where we've been at throughout that week. So, but usually my husband knows those things before he comes home. Unless there's a reason that his shift is crazy or something, but I try to just communicate with him as well. And so he knows coming home, like, okay, this is going on, this is what needs to be done. And we can kind of transition that way into our home life. So
Abby, for the listeners out there who want to check out Confessions of a Firefighter Wife and see what, you know, CFFW has to offer, how can they get in touch with you guys? How can they kind of get in synergy with your guys' media?
Yeah, so our website is confessionsofafirefighterwife.com. I do, I'm very active on social media. We have Instagram and Facebook at Confessions of a Firefighter Wife, and then Facebook is confessionsofafirefighterwife.com.
Well, Abby, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Chandler.
All right. Dr. Jana Price Sharps, thank you so much for joining me again, once again over the phone. How are you holding up through this coronavirus thing?
Well, I think I'm as busy as ever. I'm just on the phone.
So got a chance to talk to Abby over the phone as well, and we talked about her life as the wife of a firefighter. And one thing that kind of struck me right off the bat in talking, doing some research for this episode and talking to a few other people, was that a big thing is, oh, and I think we've talked about it before too, is a big thing is when firefighters come home from a fire, from fire season, they kind of disrupt the routines of their families. So what's the way to work around that?
And, you know, that's also true for veterans as well. Anytime somebody is gone and then they return home, people get into routines. I mean, we're seeing this right now with not everybody, but a lot of people now staying at home, and it causes a lot of distress when we have major shifts in our routines. People don't like it. We very much, despite everybody saying, you know, that we like change, that really isn't very true for most human beings. And so when somebody who has been gone and they suddenly come home, it shifts the dynamics of everything. And so even if you have a couple little kids and suddenly, well, what about bath time? And, you know, when are we going to eat dinner? And who's going to give who the bath? And who's going to tuck which kid in? And, you know, it just shifts everything. And suddenly they have this person, especially with little ones, that hasn't been there. And suddenly this person is giving them instructions or orders or telling them to do things. And, you know, especially if it's been a long fire season and the little ones are little, that's quite a shift for them. But even for older kids, it's a shift. And, you know, there's different parenting styles. And so one parent might be a little more permissive and the other one is a little bit more strict. And so then you start getting a little bit of tension between the parents because, well, why are you letting our kid do this? Well, I have been letting the kid do this. Well, suddenly we're not going to let the kid do this. And now the kid's confused. And, you know, so there's a lot of shifts that happen, even when somebody's only been gone a few months. And with veterans, you might be talking a year, year and a half or longer, you know. So anytime there's that shift, people really need to think about what is it going to look like when that person comes back. It's important if you can, and I know there's times you can't, but it's important if you can to keep the parent that is gone involved in the parenting. So if Susie wants to, I don't know, be in band, the next time your spouse calls, talk to them, you know, about it. Even if you had to make the decision, let them know that that decision's been made, so that they kind of have kept up with what's going on in the home. So when they come home, they're not saying, well, I didn't know this and I didn't know that, and feeling kind of left out of the whole family process. Also, it allows them to weigh in on parenting and what they think is okay or not okay. And that's true with financial matters. That's true with, you know, changes in the house, like major changes. You know, if somebody's been gone 3 months and they come home and there's all new furniture in the living room, that tends to cause quite a bit of disarray for some people. So just kind of keeping both parties in the loop and talking about things. And I know that sometimes, especially during fire season or somebody's deployed, they may not have a lot of access to that person. So that stuff doesn't always happen. But the more you can include everybody in that decision-making process, the better off it's going to be when that person comes home. Also realizing that, you know, your kids may have, you know, changed significantly, especially when they're little. You know, if you're gone pretty much for 3 or 4 months, they may be almost a different kid when you get home, especially if they're very young. And so just keeping that in mind as well, what they could do when you or couldn't do when you left, maybe they're doing now and that kind of thing.
One thing I heard you kind of mention there, a common theme, was keeping communication, keeping in touch. What's the importance of communicating with your kids and your spouse while you're gone, and how often should that be happening?
As often as possible. And I know sometimes there might be several days or several weeks that, you know, you don't have hardly any communication, and I get that. But, you know, especially with your spouse or significant other, you know, even that text message of super busy, very little sleep, love you, you know, I mean, just something, you know, that kind of keeps you attached to that person. And for those of you who are married to that first responder, to be able to handle most of the problems, because if somebody is far away, they're not going to be able to help you a whole lot with the day-to-day problems of the family. But just say, hey, I love you. We miss you. And Susie had her first recital. I know you're going to be able to see her later and you're going to love it, or something like that, you know, so that they still feel involved. And just kind of keep them, let them know they're still part of the family and that everybody misses them and loves them. And that goes a long, long way when people will just take that second and do that.
Now, one thing that Abby brought up that she talked about her and her husband doing, and I thought it was interesting because it's not something we've really talked about yet on the podcast, is they use the off season to prepare for the fire season. What's the importance of that, and what types of things do you think couples could do during the off season to make the fire season a little better?
You know, when you get home from fire season, a lot of guys are just, and gals are just thrashed. They're so tired. And I understand that, so take that time off that you need to take and get rested up. But after that, make sure you're doing some things with your family. Make sure that you're reconnecting with your mate. And, you know, going, I don't know, go out to dinner with that person, go to the movies, or, you know, go play golf or whatever it is you do as a couple. But make sure you have some couple time so that that marital or that intimate relationship is staying healthy. Make sure you're spending the time with the kids and communicating with them, talking to them. You know, and I see this the same, you know, with people that are going to be deployed. You know, it's like, yes, dad's going to be gone, but here are the ways we're going to stay in touch with him. You know, I've seen families in both fire and military where, you know, the kids write letters, you know, and maybe the parent gets them or maybe they don't, but at least it makes everybody feel like they're going to stay connected. So having a plan of how to stay connected before that person leaves, and also making sure that those relationships are strong before you leave, and maybe, you know, talking about with your spouse or significant other, what the finances are going to look like, what are some expectations. You know, a lot of times they get a lot of overtime pay. Okay, what are we going to do with that overtime pay? You know, are there some things around the house that you want done? How should we get them done? You know, just to really open it up and plan for it rather than, oh, here's the day, bye. And, you know, no discussion has ever kind of taken place about that.
And, you know, one thing that we've talked about before too, and we were just talking about it before we came on air, was that you really got to separate that spousal relationship from that parent relationship too. And remember that you're also a husband and wife, not just a mom and dad, correct?
Yes. And I think in this busy world, a lot of people forget that. And if you forget that, then the kids grow up and suddenly, and I've said this many times, but there you are with somebody that you don't really know. You're almost there with a roommate. And sometimes people, I've even seen people with the baby of the family kind of start pushing that kid to stay home. Well, you don't really want to move, do you? You don't really want to move out of the house, do you? You know, because they're really afraid of being with that spouse because they don't know who that person is. And so really taking that time to, you know, have an intimate relationship outside of volleyball and soccer and, you know, football and baseball and band and, you know, choir practice or whatever it is, making sure that, you know, they get a babysitter if they need to, if they have little ones, but go out and just be with your spouse. And when you go out, don't just talk about finances or, you know, how you're going to rebuild the garage. You know, talk to each other. Just enjoy each other's company. Find out who this person is. Ask them questions about, hey, you know, what are you enjoying about your job now? Anything to kind of connect with that person on a personal level, find out how they're doing, what they're thinking, how they're feeling, rather than going out. A lot of times people will go out and they'll say, yeah, no, we went out on date night and we argued the entire time because they started talking about, well, you should be parenting this way. Well, you should be parenting this way. Make sure that date night is a time to enjoy each other's company. That is not the time to solve issues. That's a different kind of time. And you do need to set that time to resolve issues, but that should not be on date night.
You know, Abby shared not wanting to talk about the what ifs of the whole situation. That's a pretty common thing. I'm pretty sure everyone would have that same problem of not wanting to talk about the what ifs. Is it important to talk about the what ifs? And if so, how do you overcome that fear and face that head on?
That is such a good question. It is unbelievable to me how many first responders don't have wills. And you're in a very dangerous job, and I understand why people don't like to talk about it, but if you've ever watched somebody go through the hell of what happens when somebody doesn't have a will, you don't ever want to do that to your family, because it, you know, everything will end up in probate, and it's just, then it becomes a fight to get everything dealt with. And at a time when your spouse would be grieving, that spouse is now, or significant other is now, trying to figure out how to deal with probate court and lawyers and the IRS and all of that. You don't want your significant other to have to go through that. So I know people don't like to talk about wills, but get your will done. You know, get it, go in and just bite the bullet, sit down and figure it out so that your spouse does not have to go through the hell of what that looks like. You know, are you going to have a DNR? You know, are you going to be cremated? You know, do you want, what kind of funeral do you want? I know people don't like to talk about that, but at the end of the day, we all die. At some point, we're all going to be gone. So it's better to deal with it up front than to leave your family in absolute chaos and grieving at the same time. So I wouldn't do it right before you leave for fire season. I would do it a long time before. Maybe you do it after fire season, but you know, get it done, because hopefully nothing tragic will ever happen to you, but if it does, it does, and you want to protect your family.
Yeah, you don't think about those things, because you don't want to think about those things. But one thing I kind of remembered when you were talking about that type of thing is, you know, I've talked about this with a lot of first responders. If there's an incident, you know, an officer involved shooting or someone's life was taken in the line of duty, one thing that happens very commonly too is that the media will come to the family's house and swarm the front yard, and they're on the front yard grass and everything. That's the type of thing you want to make a plan for and maybe get the family out of the house if something like that happens. And is it, there's just a lot of little things like that that you really don't even think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's always good to, if whatever agency or whoever you're working for, if they have like a peer support team or somebody that reaches out to families if there's, you know, something going on, you know, make sure that your family knows who those people are, you know, because those people become a real godsend a lot of times when things happen. And sometimes, you know, depending on the agency and what's going on, peer support can be really good or not so good. But, you know, get somebody lined up that, you know, if something happens, even if you're injured on the job, you have somebody that can help your significant other, you know, even with the paperwork with workers' comp or something like that, you know, have your support structure set up, you know, before, in this case, before fire season.
Abby also talked about trying to explain to your kids what was going on and why their dad had to be gone for so long. You know, it kind of made me reflect on my own childhood, and my parents worked really hard to make sure that everything seemed okay, even when things weren't. And, you know, looking back, I wish they would have shared a little more with me so I would have understood more. What's that fine balance of, you know, protecting your kids, but also keeping them in the loop?
You know, I think that letting, you know, the kid in on a little bit of what you're going to be doing without, obviously, you don't want to tell the kid the horror stories, but, you know, some of the good stories or some of the good things, experiences that you've had. I know a lot of first responders just shut down and they don't want to talk about anything, but it's really important to share with your kids some of the good things that you see and some of the good things that you do and some of the feel-good stories. And so that the kid isn't either completely left in the dark or scared to death, because what they're trying to do is just pick up information where they can find it, and they're not always going to find it from the best places. So I know that a lot of times people don't want to communicate about things, but you truly have to. You know, it's you know, you can talk to the kid and say, look, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be gone, but here's what I want you to do, because I want to stay connected to you and I want to hear from you, and I'm going to miss you, but I want to hear day to day of what you're doing. So send me a text if they're old enough to do that, or, you know, write me a card and have mommy mail it to me, or, you know, if that's possible, or, you know, or so that I can read them all when I come home, you know, make a card for me every day if they're little, and that way I'll have them all when I get home, and we'll put them in this envelope, or so the kid stays, you know, feeling like they're connected, and the parent also realizes how much the kids love them. And, you know, I think it's just a good thing to do. You know, in this day of text messaging and, you know, Skype and FaceTime and all of that, you know, that's also great ways if it's possible for the person to stay connected. A lot of times I think after long shifts, people are just so exhausted, and I get that, but just text, "I'm exhausted, but I love you all. I'm going to get some sleep," you know, rather than just not text. And, you know, the best significant others are the ones that have the healthiest relationships are the ones that go, "Okay, I love you too. Go get some sleep," rather than, "Well, I'm stuck here with the kids and why aren't you talking to me?" "Well, this person just put in 20 hours, you know, or something like that. So you also have to realize that you would much rather let them get sleep, because when people are exhausted is when accidents are more prone to happen. So that person needs sleep. So be supportive of them getting that sleep and that rest and taking care of themselves. And that means you also have to start developing your own support system, because, you know, as a single parent for chunks of time, you need a support system to reach out to too. And right now your spouse cannot be that support system.
Lastly, Jen, I wanted to get your take on this. You know, Abby's platform and her foundation is pretty powerful one and pretty important one. What's the importance of spouses networking, especially through tough times like fire season?
You know, I can't emphasize enough that especially people that have good relationships, you know, being able to reach out to other people that have good relationships with their spouses and say, "You know, I know you're frustrated with the situation, but here's what I have done in that situation." That's why I think Chandler, your mom and dad, Pete and Patty Marquez, are just phenomenal people, because they have mentored so many couples. And yes, I know it's frustrated when he's gone for a long time, but your mom will always say, "But this is what I did, and this is what helped, and this is what helped the kids." And you know, being able to hear that there's hope and that you can have a healthy relationship even though you're not seeing your spouse for significant amounts of time, I think people really need hope. And I know I've said this before, but Zig Ziglar always says if there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. And the more we can give people hope of, yes, you can do this. It requires a few extra things, and there's some things you need to put into place, but you can do this. And you can have a good and healthy relationship, even though you're not seeing your spouse all the time.
Yeah, and that's a good point. If, you know, if you're new to the podcast, and maybe this is the first episode you're listening to, or you haven't listened to all the episodes, and you like want to hear more about relationships, especially between a husband and wife, go check out episode 8 with my parents, Pete and Patty, or episode, I believe, 12 with Casey. So, yeah, anyways, Jana, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Be safe, Chandler.
All right. Thanks, Jana.